Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. In his message titled, The Water and the Blood, Reverend David Williams tells us that we are on this earth for a purpose. We are to use the gifts that the Lord has provided us to bless those around us. On this Mother's Day, we need to thank and hug our mothers, but every day we need to practice self-sacrifice to show grace to others. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Each and every one of us has been given the blessing of life. Every one of us has been born into this world full of potential. Potential that we should feel every morning. Every time we wake, every time we open our eyes, every time we take a breath. That is God's blessing to us, this life we are leading. And yet, as we lead it, it is very easy for us to forget to savor it, to let these moments of life pass by as if they have no meaning, to find ourselves mired in routine, or find ourselves spending our days resenting what has not been. We look at this blessing and we miss it. So right now in this time, let's admit our tendency to overlook the possible goodness that lies before us in our every moment. Let's admit that before our loving God. Please join with me now in the prayer of confession. It's printed in your bulletins. Let's pray it together. Gracious and loving God, you are the source of all life and everything that is. You have blessed us with the chance to move and breathe and delight in existence. But we can lose sight of this blessing. We can drift into dead routines, empty patterns, living this life as if it were nothing. Remind us, Lord, of the deep blessings of life. Remind us, Lord, because we do need reminding. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from the first letter of John. I'll be reading from 1 John 5, verses 1 through 6. You can follow along on page 241 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, Grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And the text today goes, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And that sounds odd off my soul, because for the very longest time I had a thing about blood. I just had this thing. I don't remember exactly the first time it was that I realized blood freaked me out. But I think it might have been about the same time as a very, very old memory. And I don't have any idea exactly how old I was, but there it is in my head if I summon it back up. A memory of me on the front patio of our little house in Nairobi, in Kenya. And it was beautiful and cool and sunny and the sort of faint sepia tones of very old memories. And what I remember is that my grandmother was there, towering huge above me, as all adults did. And that was unusual because grandmother was, well, she wasn't a giant woman. She was small and slender and filled with mischief. But I was a very small child, and so she, I remember, just huge. Maybe I was 3. Maybe I was 4. And I don't know if it's accurate. I don't know if it's an accurate memory because those neurons in there must have been written and rewritten over hundreds of times. But there it is, still there, a little faded, like an old comic book that you've mistakenly left out in a place where sunlight can wash the colors away. And so I close my eyes and I can call it up, flaws and all. And what I remember was playing in the dirt around the patio in that front yard, the way that, you know, little boys did back when they didn't have screens to look at. And I was noodling around in the dirt, and grandmother was there, and I found something on the ground I didn't recognize. Did not know what it was. Cool. New thing. And so I picked it up, and it was a little metal rectangle. You know, it's shiny in the sunlight, and it was cool and had all these holes in it, and it was impossibly thin. It had this little thick ridge around one top edge. I had no idea what it was. Never seen anything like that before my whole life. I was like, I don't know what that is. So I'm a curious little monkey, and I'm picking it up, but I'm inspecting it and looking at it, passing it from hand to hand. It was so light. It was so interesting. What could be its function? And so grandmother was there, and I decided I must go ask her. Because she was an adult, and at that point, adults know everything about everything, and she wasn't just an adult. She was like a double adult, you know. She was a mother of mothers, a super adult. So I go over to ask, and I remember holding it up to her and looking up at her. I was like, what is this? As I look up into her face, and the memory's twitchy there because I don't hear my voice. At that age, I don't think I was a baritone when I was 4. It's like, no, what is this, grandmother? You know, this is wrong. No. But what I do remember is the look on her face as I looked up into it. And it was concern. It wasn't panic, because grandmother wasn't a panicky person. But she was just something to the effect, as my memory yields it, oh dear, let me have that Davidy. That was, you know, the diminutive used for me at that age. And she took it from my hand. And that was when I saw my hand. Not that it hurt, there wasn't any pain at all, because razors are too sharp. But there was blood. And I looked at my other hand, and there was blood, and it was my blood. Not a lot, you know, it was like, psh, you know, that, like, you know, it was just a flesh wound. I was not badly hurt or deeply cut, but you would not have known that from my response, which was analogous to one of those air raid sirens, you know, they set off at the beach, and it starts out low, and it's like, you know, it's like, because my inside juice was outside. My life stuff was leaking, and it's like, and I was damaged. But grandmother cleaned me up and washed my hands and calmed me down and may have given me a cookie or seven. But I was, for quite a while after that, really tetchy around blood, squeamish, you know, at least until my late 20s. And I don't think I'm alone in that, because blood and life have always been woven up together in the minds of human beings, which is why in the ancient world, blood was sacred. It was this sacred thing. This is especially true out of the tradition that gives us Jesus, out of the worldview of the Torah, that 5,000-year-old story out of which our faith arises. That's kind of a large part of the reason behind the laws of kashrut, the Jewish laws of keeping kosher. And there, kosher is not just about, no, you may not have a bacon cheeseburger. It is about dealing properly with powerful things. And so much of that had to do with how do you deal with, you're eating these animals and they're filled with this fluid that is life. Have to be careful with it. And those codes of sacrifice that rise out of Torah also speak to how do you deal with this stuff that we know we need to live. It is somehow our life itself. Of course, now in this area, we know so much more. Blood is a wildly complex thing that we understand as this organic slurry. It's 55% plasma, which itself is a complex mix of water and proteins and minerals, and the rest of it a slush of oxygen-bearing erythrocytes and body-defending leukocytes. I have to say that I'm Presbyterian. I can't say white blood cell, red blood cell. That'd be too easy. No, it's erythrocyte, leukocyte. Ah, vocabulary. And self-repairing platelets. Still in all, we know, from what we know about it from science, this is what binds us to both air and earth. This is what bears the oxygen into us to make life possible. This is what brings into us and distributes the nutrients that we have digested. 5,000 years and still blood is the stuff of life, so complex that it is a little magical. And more than a little dangerous, and it still freaks us out a little bit. Even if we are not a panicky 3 or 4 or 28-year-old, the idea of it, blood, is still written into our fear of brokenness, of terror and violence. And that may be one of the reasons we twitch a little bit when we encounter passages like the one from 1 John today. This is a lovely little bit of writing from the early church, this letter filled with passages that mostly soar and sing to our souls and resonate with us, because like all of the Johannine literature, you know, Bible scholars can't just say stuff by John, it's Johannine literature. The Gospel of John, those three letters, this is simultaneously simple and sophisticated, capable of expressing meanings that speak so far beyond the very spare language used by the author. John's writings are kind of like the Dr. Seuss of the Gospels. They have a richness in them that burns bright, even though the vocabulary itself is so simple. And so from 1 John, we hear all kinds of things that are easy for us to resonate to and relate to. We hear earlier in this book, whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light. We're like, oh, light, oh, love, that's wonderful. Or we hear, little children, let us love in word or speech. Not in word or speech, but in truth or action. And oh, we can do that. That's like lovey and dewy at the same time. It's so good. But then we get these passages about blood, not just water, but water and blood, and that can weird us out in this age. It's sort of freaky, you know, maybe a little vampiric. It's like, ah, blood. We get squeamish. It can bother us. When we hear Jesus being the one who comes to us not just by the water in which we hear baptism, but also by the blood. And that gives us the cross and that context. And we just think of blood and we recoil. It feels barbaric. And I think maybe some of that comes in the way we have been trained to live here in this time. Because blood and hardship and mess just aren't something our culture does a lot of. If we're expecting a new life, new lives, how do we make new lives for ourselves, understand newness? That comes when we purchase things, you know, like a 12-DVD set of inspirational lectures from Amazon, or if we've downloaded that self-help book with the smiling man on the cover, promising to turn our whole lives around if only we learn those 7 life hacks we've paid $9.99 to learn. New lives, we have been taught to think, are things that we purchase, like a new treadmill. You'll be new and fit, or a new car, you'll feel so stylish, or that new flat screen. We've been taught to expect new life to arise from purchases. Newness, we are told, is the result of a transaction. And transactions are easy and anodyne and unthreatening, clean as an exchange. And it does strike me as funny that we get this passage today completely coincidentally arising out of that sequence of sacred readings, our lectionary, on the day when we celebrate the women who gave birth to us and the women who raised us. It strikes me as interesting that this would just arise today, because who's been there during a birth? Moms are going to raise their hands. Who's what? Please. That is not neat or easy. Birth is mess and risk and the unknown. Even in this age where we desperately want to manage every last moment of it and contain it and control it so that our OBs don't totally freak out, because they can't handle that. Our society wants us to think of new life as something that arises as a transaction, neat and orderly as the 10-page itemized bill we get from the hospital. But the reality is that new life is a relationship. Not a transaction, a relationship. And it's one that is woven up out of the stuff of existence, out of water and of blood. And if you've been at a birth, that's so much of what a birth is. With my 14-year-old being there, and I'm thankfully out of my 20s, so I wasn't afraid of blood quite as much anymore. But after the hours and hours and hours and hours, first water, there was water, and then there was blood, and then there was Elijah. And he was not neat when he came out. He was not. Nothing in that area was neat when he came out. But he came out, and seeing his life there, this tiny little being coming out of the water, covered in the blood of life, messy, but alive and new. That memory reminds me of what this passage speaks. Relationships are suffused with life. They are complicated and they are unpredictable and they can be very messy, and they are magical and a little bit frightening. Just like the blood that gives a child life in the womb, just like the blood that courses in them, just like blood that is the part of the process of their being born. And so here we remember waters of baptism and blood that comes from life given over in suffering so that others might live. And yeah, blood might still freak us out just a little tiny bit. But on this Sunday, we choose to remember that that is the way of all life, of water, of blood, of complex, messy, joyous relationships. And so on this Mother's Day, let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
We were, all of us, born into this world for a purpose. And in the storytelling we have from the beloved community, from John's community, there is a reminder of that, that we are all born into this world, born in the same way that Christ was, through water and blood. And this reminds us, them of you who were there, of what birth is like. But it should also remind us of what our rebirth is like each day, as we who have decided to walk this path that Jesus sets out, remember that just as we were first born that way, we are also born through the baptism and presence of the Spirit and water. And as we are all born by taking on that mantle of self-sacrifice that Jesus himself bore, giving his life, his whole life, for a world that he loved. That first birth we all have, and it is that second birth that we are asked to remember as we walk out into a world that needs itself to be reborn, that needs to understand that new life and promise that is before all of us. Go out today in whatever celebration, whatever remembrance, and say, love you, Mom. Love you, Mom. And then share that same love with the whole world, because the world needs to hear that and see it in you. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this day, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.